Hello, this is our group. It consists of Nicole Gillespie,
Brianna Sanisak,
Bo Staples,
Cam Bankston,
Jaden Hanum.
And we are discussing the questions we were presented. So the first question we're going to discuss is, discuss interesting facts, ideas, and practices of the different nations of Indigenous people represented in your individual studies as well as represented within the textbook. And one thing that I thought that was very interesting was that in the Southwest, their religion, there were these specific men called medicine men, and people thought that they could communicate with the gods better than any other type of person.
I thought like the religion in the Northwest Coast was interesting because they couldn't marry people in their own tribe.
I thought the wide religion with them all, with the animism, giving a spirit to any object in like rocks, animals, sun, water, everything, they gave it a spirit.
I thought it was interesting that they'd follow like the animals they're hunting, so they'd move like their entire village to follow the animals.
One thing I thought was kind of cool was that they only had one god and their main focus was only on that god. They didn't have like multiple gods, but they believe in different spirits, like everything had a spirit, but it was just like one god where they abided by and whatnot.
That was question one. This is question two, and it says, section two of chapter one looks at some basic information concerning Europe during the late Middle Ages and the early Renaissance. How does it set the stage for exploration by Christopher Columbus? So back in Europe in the Middle Ages, everything was like just like basic, and they had all their basic needs and like basic ideas that like they just needed to like stay alive and to stay healthy and like to be okay. And so that was like how it was the basic information. And then it helped when Christopher Columbus came by, he helped create new ideas for expanding the basic information and ideas.
They had a steady economic system.
And when Christopher Columbus brought these new ideas, their economic system and agriculture was able to expand with new ideas or new resources and more money.
And the thought of new ideas set the stage for exploration by Christopher Columbus, because Christopher Columbus wanted to expand trade routes and make it easier, and he wanted to get to Asia, like China and stuff like that, to make trade routes easier and get their better resources to help Spain and Portuguese and every other place thrive and open expand trade.
And Christians and the Muslims fought for Jerusalem and the Holy Land, so that opened like further lands for the Europeans to come expand their trade.
When trade came around, it opened up a lot of different things, like new ideas to different places and a lot more land in the areas.
With Christopher Columbus and him sailing all over these places, it opened up many trade routes and new trade routes that we didn't really know about that he just had found, and that he just opened up all these ideas for the basic information to expand and improve. That was question two. This is question three. How do economic wants and needs play into this time period? Well, the economy was based on agriculture. A lot of it was in Europe. And so if your agriculture was not doing well, then your economic needs and wants were not fulfilled. And so you had to do well in the agriculture to have your needs met. And if you didn't, well, then you weren't able to have as many things as the neighbor next to you. And then it became wars between who got what and who wanted what and who was better than the other.
The king and queen had like the highest status, and the hierarchy had like the next highest And then it got smaller down you went.
So, and with their economic wants and essentially needs, they had the want and need to trade because, you know, they were fine where they were, but they wanted and needed to expand and make life better for themselves.
And, like, in order to expand, they needed work done, so that's what introduced slavery.
Just, like another thing that Bo said, like, they traded to better themselves, and so they could have, like, better, like, lifestyle and get better quality of different things, maybe, from trading and bettering themselves.
And with this time period, they didn't have as many, like, things as we obviously have now, and so they had to play around with what they all had, and so what they had was how their economic wants and needs were gonna be used in their everyday lifestyle. That was question three. This is question four. How did the Portuguese efforts to trade in Africa influence American history? They agreed to split the world of new boundaries, discoveries by drawing a north and south boundary line through the mid-Atlantic west of the Azores. So then, like, each side could secure their items and the things they had to trade, and so then other people could not take them.
European leaders thought that the Native Americans could be left alone on their former islands.
Okay. So the Portuguese trade efforts. So Portugal dominated trade east and south Africa. So they dominated that whole trade route. So they had to find somewhere else to go. So they started moving west towards the Americas, and then they ended up with conflict with Spain.
I think the Portuguese, like, trading, like, influenced, like, the rest of the world to start trading.
So I think America, like, saw that the Portuguese were trading, and that's, like, kind of how I feel like they got their ideas and whatnot, and how it all kind of got started.
The ideas from the Portuguese, the Americas saw that, and they saw how, like, good they were doing economically and everything else, and they're like, we want to be like that too, and so they started to do, like, have ways that they did things and copied them, like Jaden was saying. That was question four. This is question number five, and it is, what do you learn about West Africa from the text? Something that I learned that was interesting was that the land you owned was not your land. It was more of your ancestors. So your ancestors would die and then you'd inherit the land from you. So it's not your private property. It's still considered your ancestors.
I learned that in 1740, West African kingdoms had passed the equator to reach the Gulf of
All right, what I thought was interesting is how the West Africans are actually the ones who started slavery, and they intended it just to, like, work and boost economy, and they did not plan on it going the way the Americans made it.
I learned that when people's ancestors died, that they thought the spirits watched over them.
I found that people that worked the land, like, around a village, when the harvest would come, they would often divide it up according to how many people there are in the village, and, like, the crop would be evenly dispersed to all.
That was question five. This is question six. How does the textbook represent Christopher Columbus? Make an argument for why some might believe he should be celebrated and why others might believe it would be disrespectful to celebrate him. As a group, make a statement about Christopher Columbus that you believe could accurately represent what you know to be true about Christopher Columbus and yet satisfy both groups. So I'm going to talk about why some believe he should be celebrated. It's because they believe that, like, he came here first and he, like, started the ideas of, like, setting sail and, like, going and finding other lands and, like, finding the land we have today. And that they think that he should be celebrated because he was the, like, starter of all of that.
when Christopher Columbus set sail, like in 1492, Queen Elizabeth and King Ferdinand of Spain provided 3 ships, 90 men, and almost other funding for Columbus.
Okay, I believe. Okay, so why he shouldn't be celebrated, why people consider it disrespectful, is because he did bad things to the indigenous people and his crew. He's put the natives into slavery. He killed thousands of them. And he did bad things to his crew. Like, he cut off their tongues if they said they found anything other than Asia. And people just find that disrespectful and not want to celebrate him.
Not a lot of people talked about how long it actually took. Like, his entire journey, they just, like, summarized it, basically.
I'll talk about, like, how the book didn't really go into a lot of depth and how there's a lot of parts left out that probably would have made the story not as, like, appealing as it is. But there's just wasn't a ton of things that were put in that should have been put in.
That was question 6. Now we are going to make our statement about Christopher Columbus that you believe could be accurate, represent of what you know true about Christopher Columbus, and yet satisfy both groups.
All right. So what should be celebrated is the idea of westward expansion and how people accepted the thought and wanted to pursue the thought of going westward and exploring the new world. That's what should be explored.
And then the downside of it is they never really talk about, like, what all bad things he did and what cruelty he did to people. And so there would be why people would not want to celebrate him, because he did do cruel things and he did start the idea of slavery and he did kill all these people of different races and nationality, which was not right. And so in some instances, there would be a definite reason not to celebrate him, and others there would be a reason.
So I don't really have a good or bad, like, thing to say, but, like, there's kind of two sides of the story. So good, because he created, like, westward expansion and he traveled and found new places. But, like, on a bad note, he also, like previously stated, started, like, slavery and killed some people that weren't always mentioned in stories and such.
In the book and in most stories, you never hear about all the people that, like, actually helped with the voyage. You just hear that Christopher Columbus did this all by himself. But really, in the actual instance, they talk about Marco Polo and Rodriguez, or is that it? That's his name, I think. And all these people that actually did help, and, like, the queen and king, how much, like, effort and, like, help they actually put into it. And so, like, a lot of the story gets misplaced, you could say. And so that's why people have big disagreements, because not everyone knows the full true story. That was our statement. This is question 7. Define the Columbian Exchange and discuss what effect it had on the world.
So the Columbian Exchange is also known as the Columbian Interchange, and that was the widespread transfer of plants, animals, ideas, human population, technology, and ideas between the new and old world in the 15th and the 16th centuries.
One thing that was brought over by them was disease. Many animals or insects or anything of the sort, they brought over all these diseases, and then they did not have the technology and medicine to cure them, so the population was going down, as well as population was increasing because people were coming with this Columbian Exchange to this better world and this better life. And so it was really a toss-up between disease killing people and not knowing what to do, and the population growing.
Some plants that were brought over were rice, barley, wheat, and oats.
Some animals that were brought over by the Columbian Exchange were horses, cattle, sheep, goats, and pigs.
And, like, some religious aspects that came from the Columbian Exchange were that, like, the main religion was Roman Catholicism, so, like, a Roman Catholic. But that was, like, the most widespread religion.
and then like conquistadors spread it throughout their colonies and whatnot.
And with all of that being brought, with the Columbian Exchange brought new ideas and new hopes and better lives for everyone in the long run. And so, yeah, it was great. And that was question 7.